The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
An analysis by the Irish Daily Mail has found that Gardaí are policing almost twice the number of licensed vehicles as they were 15 years ago. This means there are 440,000 more cars on our roads and yet a 40% reduction in dedicated road police. I'm joined on the line by Brendan O'Connor, President of the Gardaí Representative Association, and we'll be joined in studio by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC. But first of all, Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the stats would suggest that the Gardaí have their work cut out to police the roads.
Yes, roads policing, I suppose, is like no other section in the Garda Síochána. We're struggling with numbers, and particularly when you see those statistics, it shows that workload in that particular area of expertise has expanded. That doesn't count the number of vehicles registered outside the jurisdiction that are also in use by people within the state. And we see a huge pressure on those members. And then another figure that, or another factor that isn't reflected there, is the fact that frontline regular units, that's ordinary policing, is so depleted that quite often our roads policing people are directed away from their core function because there's no other units to actually attend to calls. So yes, huge pressure on our roads policing colleagues, and I suppose the commentary in recent days has focused in on some of the weaknesses and some of the problems that may be arising and placed a connection between that and road death.
Now, that's the question I was going to ask you. From a Gardaí perspective, when you look at the increasing number of road deaths, you must look at those figures with some dismay, because we were going in the right direction. We're now heading distinctly this year in the wrong direction.
Yes, unfortunately, and behind every one of those statistics, of course, is a huge human tragedy. But it is an international phenomenon, so the exact driving factors, I suppose, can't be asserted scientifically. But certainly, there is a connection between enforcement and a fear of being caught that influences driver behaviour. And we would fear that that's reflected and that enforcement plays a huge part in driver behaviour and compliance with the law. And certainly, It's not unreasonable to say that there is a connection there. I think that certainly most commentators see some connection between a lack of enforcement or lack of visibility and, unfortunately, those very concerning statistics.
Now, the Gardaí have access to unmarked vehicles. I don't know how many of these the road traffic police have access to, but I'm sure that when you're driving around in a marked car, you know, everyone behaves themselves. You know, they see the markings on the white guard, the car, and the roof lights and so on. So they slow down, they get in lane, they behave, they don't break the traffic lights. But I'm sure your colleagues in the unmarked cars see rather different behaviours.
Yes, I think so, Pat. I mean, as you alluded to there, and in fact, in recent years, one thing that has advanced is the visibility of patrol cars. We're driving mostly those mid-range SUVs that are higher, there's more reflective marks, and sort of much more visible. And yes, when you go to work and you drive a patrol car, you see people behaving impeccably. You get into your own car to drive home, you might see standards that are slightly below. So certainly there is a place. I mean, we need high visibility, preventative policing, but for those recidivist, dangerous drivers, people who make very bad decisions that risk lives, who don't have any regard, you need cars out there, and you need focused and targeted operations, which our members in roads policing are telling us. It used to be, if they were aware that, you know, a certain Mr. Kenny or Mr. O'Connor was a persistent offender, or there's intelligence that they're a persistent drunk driver, you could go out and target a patrol in that area. But unfortunately, we just don't have the numbers anymore. They're tied up with operations, maybe with RSA or providing mid-checkpoints. So they don't have that flexibility or that ability to patrol and to target recidivist offenders. That's just a reflection of the lack of numbers.
Now, one of the things that you might do if you're in a car, be it a patrol car or an unmarked car, you might go in hot pursuit of an offender. Are Gardaí kind of afraid to do that, given, and we won't go into specific cases, but given the sanctions that have been visited upon Gardaí for doing precisely that?
Well, certainly. Well, the first issue is the lack of driver training. So a lot of cars are prohibited from turning on the blue lights and sirens. So one of the retorts from our own internal Gardaí management would say that every guard has responsibility for road traffic enforcement. But if you're out in the patrol car and you observe a breach of the road of the traffic act and you wish to speak to the driver to take whatever action, whether issue a ticket or issue a prosecution, you have to be able to signal them to drive. So a lot of guards aren't even in the position to signal someone to stop. But again, yes, the pursuit situation is A few high-profile cases and a few experiences members are perhaps, and that's good that there is oversight or reluctance. And I suppose what you have to balance is the risk to the public. And I suppose what it comes down to sometimes is, does the investigation of a road traffic offence justify risking the safety of the public and the offender and the Gardaí? But we believe properly trained guards and proper vehicles, if you have a vehicle that's suitable for, you can slow down a junction, check your left and right and get back up to speed. So that comes back to fleet too and suitability of vehicles. I mean, most road traffic police units across the world have some very high-powered, highly trained drivers to deal with those
situations. How are the traffic corps deployed? I mean, because one of the deficits that I see is that we don't have the kind of statistical information that would be helpful. You know, how many accidents has road design contributed to? How many accidents are we talking about mobile phone use where someone takes their eye off the road? The weather. We're always told about speeding, and there's no doubt that excessive speed in particular locations might be a contributor. But do you have enough information? And do the powers that be in the Garda Síochána have enough information to actually know where best they can save lives?
Well, it's funny you should raise that, Pat, because I saw a coverage in the last couple of days where it suggests that actually less information is now being shared between agencies. And, you know, I was just talking to a colleague this morning, and we used to have an old pen and paper system where guards recorded all those statistics in relation to accidents, and they were shared with local authorities, and there was seems to be so. But now I'm told under GDPR, I read on a media article that there's actually less information shared. But certainly, I suppose local Gardaí would have local knowledge about stuff like that. But whether the statistics play a part in operations, I'm not sure if that is the case. But certainly, again, it comes back to guards in the community that know what's going on, know where the dangers. You might not have statistical information, but certainly local knowledge and experience is hard to beat when it comes to any aspect of policing.
All right, Brendan O'Connor, President of the Garda Representative Association. Thank you very much for listening to that conversation with me now is Conor Faulkner. Conor, too few guards and far more cars now, and certainly different situations that we might have had 15 years ago. For example, on the M50, crawling along at rush hour, going into work or coming home from work, eyes off the road on the mobile phone, bang.
Yeah, an everyday occurrence, literally an everyday occurrence. We have this hypnotic device on the dashboard or in our palm of our hands, which is a good deal more hypnotic than it was 15 years ago in terms of all the clever things that it does. Very easy to get distracted. We know that is one of the contributory factors. But in other ways, we're sort of suffering from success, Pat, if you want to be optimistic. Mm. 10 years ago, we had fantastic road safety record. It was literally up there with the very best in the world, with the Swedes, with the Dutch, with the Brits. The Irish were right up there. So it sort of looked like a battle won. So at cabinet level, the temperature went out of it. They started to talk about housing and other things. And the Garda Traffic Corps was allowed to atrophy. You know, that's, you were discussing that there. Overall numbers down to about 650. That's, you know, not much more than half strength. And then while that's been happening, our economy has recovered. So again, this is a success outcome. But the population of the country is now 5.3 million. The car population, along with everything else, has scaled up. So your fleet scales up, your population scales up, your economy scales up, your Garda force scales down, and unsurprisingly, we tumble down the league table. So the bit that point I've been trying to make is that that's the bit we have to fix. We don't need to dream up new laws about, you know, let's punish smartphone users even more severely, yeah, or let's lower every speed limit we can see.
Now, people are talking about technology. Would average speed cameras at every fatality not help the cause? Even with full recruits, Garda can't be everywhere. Make use of technology will help change behaviours. It's invisible enforcement. People who break it crazily could then be visited by Garda and the right sanctions applied. Now, the average speed cameras are difficult because you've got to have no exits off.
Yeah.
That's why it works on motorways, but not on regular roads, because there'll be turnoffs, laneways, doorways, exactly, gateways, and so on. But having speed cameras and, you know, where the flash used to go off, and you knew, oh my God, I've been done.
Yes.
That, even if that's old-fashioned technology,
Sometimes
it really would work.
Yeah, sometimes the old-fashioned stuff works. You know, flashing blue lights are a great deterrent to the drink driver, and the physical presence of cameras does deter the ordinary driver as well. The average speed camera, as you say, is not the right tool for that job. I mean, perversely, average speed cameras work best on the roads that are the safest. They're not really at the sharp end of the road safety fight, I think. But there is a role for technology. But to take what that texter was saying and extend it, the technology is there for universal monitoring. Near universal monitoring.
Yeah.
There are tracking devices in every European car, and that's why they have functions that can automatically call the emergency services if the airbags go off.
And you know, when on your dashboard, if you have a modern car, it will actually tell you what the speed limit is. You look down, you see 60 or 80 or 120, whatever it might be. So therefore, Big Brother could be watching you, know where you're driving and have your average speed.
Yeah, and look, it is an open societal question as to what extent you want universal monitoring. And you know, because that's a very much a double-edged sword. If you only ever look at road safety, you might say, hey, that's a good idea. But I think we still need to live in the low-tech world, Pat, as you were saying. We don't need to dream up new stuff. 10 years ago, what we were doing was working. What's changed? More than anything else, enforcement.
Modern cars are loaded with tech these days. They're like smartphones on wheels. Surely it's all a distraction when driving. That's from Pat. Mm. And I can understand that often you have to change the air conditioning, even you have to engage the screen instead of being able to press a button, which you could do in your sleep, more or less. This has changed. 129 for a litre of unleaded, 95 in Gran Canaria this week. We are being robbed here. That's apropos, obviously, the price of fuel.
We're being taxed, that's for sure. Irish fuel, very, very heavily taxed.
No education programmes on the roads. You pass your test and you're eligible to go on the M50, one of the most dangerous roads in the country. What's the logic? And that's true. You're not allowed on a motorway as a learner driver.
Yeah, motorways are statistically safe, but so the M50 is not the most dangerous road.
But if you were for the first time in your life, you passed your test, and now suddenly you've got to access a busy motorway and get up to speed from your 30, 35 kilometres an hour as you maybe round a bend to come onto the M50, at the Red Cow. Yeah. You have to round a bend. So you're going at 30 kilometres an hour, and then you've got to get up to 100 in that case really quickly.
Yeah.
And you've just passed your test.
And that's a much more dangerous scenario than doing a 3-point turn in a cul-de-sac. And learners are never trained for it. One of the possible solutions for that is that there is a 12-module learner programme. So it might be worthwhile upgrading that to include motorway driving, perhaps also to include nighttime driving, Pat, because that's true too. You know, you're never tested on it. So those things I think we can maybe pick up on at the teaching stage, and I think that would be helpful. Yeah.
This one: put 4 Gardaí in a minibus and drive up and down the M50 for a week, just looking at people on their phones. We could reduce traffic in the country in a month. This week, as a passenger, my count from the M50 is 26 on YouTube, 20 texting, 30 on Instagram, 17 unconfirmed scrolling, 3 reading a newspaper, 30 with earphones, noise cancelling headphones. Implementation of zero tolerance on these and a 3-month ban immediately should be put in place. Mm-hmm. Only photographic evidence is needed. That's from Sean. All I have to do is take out the camera, snap the guy who's got the phone up in front of his gob behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Couple of things on that. Firstly, it's much more difficult to do than you imagine. And I often give out about lawyers, but in a democracy, you do need, it does take more than a photo. There are contexts where it's safe and permitted to use your device legitimately. It's the abuse of it. So I don't like slogans like zero tolerance. I don't think they're the way to go. But for sure, we need better enforcement. And no reason in principle why the speed camera can't detect you on a mobile phone and prosecute you for that as well. Yeah. And I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Mm. And not 100 metres from my local Garda station is a car with a non-EU registration plate parked for years now. And this is the case all over. It's common to see ordinarily resident UK registered cars with no NCT, no road tax, perhaps no insurance. The Garda ignore them. I find this totally infuriating as I pay my taxes.
Well, it's not that big a problem, though it does exist. And it's between Northern Ireland and the Republic as well. It's a sort of fairly common thing. There is reasonable enforcement on that. You do have to pay your VRT. Revenue can pursue you on that. It's not something I'd advise. But you can't deny it. You do see foreign registrations,
and who particularly knows close if they're to the border area.
And yeah,
average speed cameras are just PR exercise. Everyone knows where they are, and they speed up again when they end. They're also on motorways where the least number of accidents actually happen. We need more Gardaí out on our national and minor roads, especially at night. And the Gardaí would be putting themselves in harm's way on some of the roads, the most dangerous roads, because there's no safe place for a guard that to wait.
Yeah, that's right. And it can be easy to do technology in the easy places. So, you know, speed cameras on motorways, knock yourself out, enjoy. It's not a strategic intervention in terms of addressing what is causing the worsening road safety situation. Old-fashioned technology again, Pat, a physical guard on the beat. Do you know, this is a parallel thing, but with a different hat on. In Dublin city centre, huge complaints from all the businesses, including our own business where I'm working on Dawson Street, about the lack of Gardaí, culminating in incidents like the Dublin riots, etc. To be fair to the guards, that is much better now. They're physically more present. You walk down Grafton Street, you will see a guard. And you know what? It's working. It is definitely improving Dublin city centre.
Same for the roads.
It is what we needed. The same for the roads.
All right, Conor Faulkner, a transport commentator and CEO of the Royal Irish Automobile Club, the RIAC. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.